Hello, everyone, and welcome back to your monthly Coach Ed conversation with me, Richard Reid, and my fabulous co-host, Dan Steele. Dan, how are things with you today, sir?
Very good. Going very, very well. We're currently, I'm going to date this episode, but we're currently in school holidays here in Melbourne. So we're enjoying it. It's nice. It's wintry, but I know that's very relative in comparison to where you are, sir, in the world.
Well, it's summertime. We have a little bit of sunshine and, in fairness, a little bit of rain as well. But rain has done us no harm over the years, so we're not going to complain. So listen, if it's your first time, folks, either listening or watching, you are very, very welcome. It's great to have you. For our returning listeners and viewers, those folks who are tuning in every month, we're delighted to see you folks back again. So in today's episode, yet again, Dan and I are going to put our trusted three-question framework to good use. So what have we noticed? Why does it matter? And what's become clearer? And we're going to use these three questions to help us wrestle with a specific coaching challenge. So Dan, tell us, what do we hope to be chatting about in today's conversation?
Well, Richard Reid, we are here to talk about the power of video for coaches and also teachers or coachees.
Fantastic. Exciting stuff. So listen, let's jump right into it. Dan, share with us, what have you noticed recently in relation to the power of video and coaching?
Yeah, it's really interesting. So there's two aspects I've been thinking about this, which is one comes from an instructional coaching lens and the other comes from a coaching development lens. So both of them really speak to the power of video, but it actually talks to what's under the bonnet or under the surface of using video. And a lot of the time what I've noticed, if it's working with instructional coaches or principals or deputies that are trying to engage instructional coaching in their settings, they realize that there's an incredible power for video to show us everything. So you can actually see everything that's occurring in a classroom, which for me, I love that because the school that I started at, that was just the norm. So this was in the early 2000s. Back then we had those, the flip cameras. So yeah, it was the norm. We got to see it. And the way it was framed in the school that I started at, we used to even record our team meetings because the leaders wanted to get better at their facilitation skills. So it was framed as a way to help learn. So it wasn't about evaluation or judgment. It wasn't to come through anything. It was to help you as a self-reflection tool. So what I've noticed in an instructional lens, when I'm working with instructional coaches or principals and deputies that are helping roll it out, they understand that it's about self-reflection. It's about supporting people to notice and get a really clear picture of reality. But then when they excitedly go to their school, not everyone has that perception and that understanding. So it really leads to this need to get clear and aligned about what the video is for. And really under the bonnet is a thing around, how's this being used? Can I trust it? Can I actually be vulnerable and trust that this isn't going to be used against me in some sort of way to evaluate me? So it's a really fascinating thing I've noticed in workshops a lot, we spend time actually talking with people about that. And the fact that really what it comes down to is, how's it being used? Who's using it? What's it for? And I'm really trying to work out, can I actually trust this isn't going to be used against me, but to actually help me? And then from a coach development side, for me, there's a power of video because I've recently been using it as part of my, we call it supervision. So when I'm coaching people, I've actually been working with clients where I record my my coaching sessions. Uh-huh. And again, it goes to the power of video where it captures everything. And for the people listening, I'm madly waving my hands in the air when I say everything. And I have walked away from some coaching sessions where I thought, on one hand, oh my gosh, I was really bringing my A game today. Like I listened really well and I was hearing this and I reflected back. And then as I watch the video and I listen back, I realized that I missed a couple of really key signal words that the person was maybe saying. And then on the other hand, I walked away thinking, oh, I don't know if my energy, like, I don't know if I was fully present just then. I feel like I missed things. And then as I went back and watched it, I actually asked some really powerful questions that got the person thinking. So either way, it gave me a lens to be able to stop and look and really reflect and think about my own coach development. And also go back and watch it with a different lens. So I thought, well, this time I'm going to watch it as the person I was coaching. Well, this time I'm going to watch it and just focus just on the questions. So it's a brilliant tool that helps us see everything. It also helps us work out and reflect really deeply on what it is that's happening. But I think underneath that is this need for trusting that it's not going to be used as a tool against you, but it's this really helpful reflective tool that supports you to see progress, accomplishment, even just to spot what it is that, you know, that you're currently doing in your practice. Because I'll never forget, I loved using video on Friday afternoons. I'm a sucker for punishment, Richard. So I used to love with the senior kids that I used to teach, and I'd get video, and I was really always fascinated by transitions and, you know, exit and entry routines. I thought I'd nailed this one on a Friday afternoon. They were really like, I knew earlier in the day, they're all a little bit off as we came in from lunchtime. I went back and watched the video, and there was this one boy literally following me behind me, flipping a water bottle in the air. Now, in the moment, I'd completely missed that. But the video was a great way to be able to see this reality. I wasn't really hard on myself because I thought, well, the 27 other kids in the room were brilliant. It was just this one guy. But it made me realize there's a different lens that you get. So it can be a really helpful tool if we've got the trust, if we're clear on those expectations and, you know, what it's actually intended for.
Yeah. Fascinating things that you've noticed quite a bit, Dan, which is superb. I've noted a few things down here. I love that idea when you're talking about it from the coaching perspective, looking back over a video from the perspective of either you, the coach, or the coachee. Quite an interesting idea. You're looking at it from, I suppose, from the other person's perspective is really, really helpful from your own professional development point of view. I love this phrase that you've used and used it a couple of times, what's under the bonnet of using video. So listen, tell me, why does it matter that we need to look under the bonnet?
Such a good question. Well, I think there's, if we take a moment to consider we need to think about the assumptions that are being made. So both from us, but also from the other person. So maybe it depends on whose bonnet we're looking under. So we might be really clear, you know, our assumptions, our intentions, our past experiences. But we need to do the same for the people or the group or the team that we're working with. So individuals will have different experiences, different assumptions being made. You know, we know the importance of being clear on what coaching is and what it isn't. So I think if we can really take the time to think about the group we're working with, the team we're working with, or an individual that we're working with, and take a moment to say, well, what might be their assumptions? What do they think the intent is? What might have their experiences been? And that can help us just become a little bit more aware about the way that we maybe need to communicate about video or why it's helpful and what difference it can make. And then we can always get it back to that common ground as well. You know, I've never met a teacher yet that hasn't said, oh, geez, I can't wait to do a terrible job to all these students. You know, so there's always common ground, isn't there? They want to make a difference. So, you know, making the time to check under that bonnet around the assumptions or intentions and expectations, I think helps.
Yeah, fantastic. So moving forward from our conversation today, what has become clearer for you, Dan?
Well, I know that I just need to keep using video. I think for any coach out there and for myself is there's a power. You just need to keep using it. If we're serious about working with other people and constantly refining our skills, the way we show up, the knowledge that we have, and also seeing coaching can be like a black box. You know, sometimes people never actually get to see what occurs. So if you take the time to use the video for your own coaching, you can step back and actually see yourself in action and see this practice that you're doing. It's really complex. So investing in it makes a really big difference. And, you know, there's research behind it about the power of supervision for supporting coaches moving from, you know, novice all the way through to, you know, master or, you know, expert. And we also know the more expertise you grow, the more you can spot little things to just keep progressing and keep improving. So for me, I think that's the critical part.
Yeah, fantastic. Keep using the video. I mean, that's simple advice, which I think people are going to really appreciate. Fantastic.
Just keep using the video. Though I did have my daughter say, but Dad, what is video? Because a video was a thing you used to put in the machine. And now is that still? Anyway, sorry, Richard, that's a tangent. Anyone, let's disregard that.
Though I think it's a relevant point. You use the word video. I mean, we're starting to show our age a little bit here, and you know, young kids in the classroom are thinking, you know, what is a video? It's a perfectly genuine question.
That's exactly right.
So yeah, we're dating ourselves. That's exactly a little bit.
Right. I said, well, it's where you got to go to Blockbuster Video or, you know, a video shop, and they were like, well, I don't know what that is. What about yourself, Richard? So, what have you been noticing when it comes to the power of video?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I enjoy our conversations because sometimes we get, you know, different perspectives on things. And I've been really encouraged with what you've noticed, a lot of similarities with what's happening over here. And okay, you know, think about instructional coaching, for example. Over here, we're still just scratching the surface. And I'm thinking about it from the perspective of, you know, taking a number of schools already over here at the start of the school year through GCI's peer coaching course, which has gone down really well. Feedback has been superb. But similar things to what you're finding in workshops yourself, Dan, you know, that initial reaction, when people come along and they've signed up and they realize, goodness me, there is actually video involved in this. And you get the usual phrases, you know, I hate watching myself, or I don't like the sound of my own voice. And that's something that's, I suppose, obviously common right around the world. And again, that idea, which you're finding the same thing, what if somebody judges me, you know, somebody uses this clip, you know, who's going to be watching? What if it actually goes badly? So maybe that idea of the camera in many ways at the start is feeling quite, I suppose, quite a threatening thing. So essentially people worry, I suppose, far more about themselves rather than what they actually might learn. Now, the interesting thing is, and this was a real encouragement over here, is that once we'd gone through, particularly that first day of the peer coaching course, once teachers have an opportunity to experience it, because they go away for a couple of weeks and they come back day two, there's a separation of a couple of weeks between day one and day two, it's amazing to see how much the anxiety has really reduced. So you had from initial, you know, hesitancy, this idea, are the senior leaders going to monitor me? You know, who's going to actually watch this video? So there's a certain nervousness in there. But moving from that first day into the second day, where people are starting to say, a bit like you, Dan, no one has ever shown me my classroom like this before. You know, they're starting to notice things they would never have noticed. Just simply looking around the room themselves, even in somebody in observing, you know, even an extra pair of eyes will only pick up certain things. And being able to see the camera as very much a learning tool. So moving away from that idea of learning, or sorry, away from evaluation towards, you know, learning. And it's interesting, like you said, it reveals so many more things. So the teachers may be, you know, using the impact cycle and they've got a bit of an idea where they want to focus. But there's so much else they can actually draw on. And whilst we're not going to focus completely on those things are still beneficial. You know, pupil engagement, just general classroom movement. You talked about, you know, exiting the class, whatever. Even if that hasn't been the focus of the video recording, teachers are still seeing that. So essentially, you've got one clip, because they're bringing one clip to the coaching conversation, but many, many different discoveries. And you mentioned that word assumptions, and I'm thinking about, you know, memory bias. So if you think about a lesson that's been taught, somebody's come in just to observe it, you know, you look back and there's no video involved, they might say, well, you know, I think that went pretty well. You know, that probably was a good start, and the other person might agree, yes, I noticed this, and so on. But they're still only capturing a tiny amount of it. So as we bring the video in, then the teacher is able, in the coaching conversation, you know, I can see X, Y, and Z has happened or hasn't happened. You know, the reality obviously becomes so much clearer, as you've said.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing because, I mean, our memory actually is pretty bad when we think about it. So video, there's a power in video too, because it's the best when, and I'm not sure if you've seen this, I'd love to hear your thoughts with the people as they practice using video between that time from day one to day two, that peer coaching, because they can see it. Their practice then, and then even just a few weeks later, or even 2 weeks later, even 1 week, they watch another clip and it might only be 30 seconds and they see a really big difference.
Yeah, I love
watching as people see that, because I think when you're coaching people, when you're working with people, when people engage in this peer coaching, they sometimes forget that they're making the progress. So it's wonderful. Yeah. I can imagine, I'd love to hear more about the successes that you heard, or the things that people were proud of or pleased about as they went through to day two, because they've done the hard yards of pushing out of their comfort zone and realizing, oh, video can actually be really helpful.
Yeah, it can, and that's why it matters so much, and we want to get that across to people, you know, when they're listening. There was a lovely example in that first day. You know, the teachers went off, they did their practicing, and they came back, and we were sitting down at the start of day two, and one of the teachers in that particular cohort, fantastic teacher, and she said she got everything set up in the room and all the prep done, hit record, and within maybe 15 to 20 seconds, hand went up in front of the class, "Miss, my nose is bleeding." And we all burst into tears laughing, because she just turned to the camera and said, "Welcome to my world." So, you know, she saw this, you know, video as a beneficial thing. She was going to embrace it. And here's the example. You know what? This is what teaching's all about. It's about reacting to what happens in front of you. And she actually used the fact there was a camera recording that to then share that with the rest of the cohort, which I thought was a lovely way, you know, of looking at it. But when we think about coaching, we're talking about our current reality. I mean, if we're using the impact cycle, we need to know what the current reality is all about. And that's where video obviously comes in really, really, really impactfully. And you think about if the picture of reality is fuzzy, and if you and I, Dan, are relying on our own memories as teachers, well, it's going to be fuzzy. You know, our improvement plans or whatever action we're going to take, there's a fair chance that's going to be fuzzy as well. So video sharpens reality. And I'm very much a visual sort of thinking, you know, I can picture that idea of a lens, you know, where you see a classroom which is slightly out of focus, and then you just adjust the lens and all of a sudden things are sharp. It's the same thing, you know, so you want to get an idea of what's the current reality. You know, video is going to really sharpen that. And we have so many blind spots, you know. I mean, nobody, you nor I nor any other teacher listening to this, you know, knows exactly how they teach, what it looks like, because we can't be in two places at once. So video in many ways, I suppose, reduces that gap between our intentions. We all want to get better, but impact becomes so much greater. So reflection, I suppose, to use that reflection word, becomes very much evidence-based, because you're using it, you know, you're using evidence. Here it is right in front of us. So we move away from that idea of, I think the lesson went well, to seeing very clearly which bits did go well. And maybe some bits that didn't go so well, the bits that you'd like to improve. And for you and me, in many ways, Dan, as coaches, so when we're joining the conversation as coaches, we're given a really good opportunity to say, well, what are you noticing? You know, and as you say, when it comes to that progress, you know, small changes do become visible when you go back to the second video, a third video. And it, like you say, it doesn't have to be a big, long, you know, extended piece of time. It could be a 30-second, 60-second clip. And that's what's going to then, over time, build confidence, build motivation, and I suppose build ownership of the whole process.
Yeah, I think from a timetabling lens, like, so if you just think of trying to organize traditionally, we say, I'm not sure if it's the same with over where you guys are on the other side of the world, but here in Australia, a lot of the time people still engage in observation cycles. So it's, well, I'll get to see Richard one time this term or twice this term if it works really well.
Yeah.
We set up all these schedules and these timetables, and then you're sick the day that we'd organized, or someone else is sick and you have to cover something, or there's a split class, something happens. The reason that I think video is also really powerful, and it goes to what you were saying with the peer-to-peer, is it's actually about getting people reflecting on their practice and talking and learning and trying it out and then achieving the change they want to see in their class. Video can be a much more powerful way because it can be really easy, because you can set up a device, you can record for 30 seconds, 2 minutes, a whole lesson, and then zoom in on what you want. But you can do it if the class goes pear-shaped and you get a nosebleed and suddenly things go off or a fire alarm happens, as we know in the day, Then you can say, all right, well, I just won't use that one. I'll try again tomorrow. So it's still in the hands of the teacher, so they can use it, trial it, grab it. And then I think that's the power, because you're not having to set up all these different timetables that have all these different dependencies. And now there's all these different platforms where you can even share it instantly with the person that's coaching you. So you might not even have a coach that's in the school. What I'm also seeing is, there's some people now that are actually supporting and working with multiple schools where they might not be based in there, but the people can send the videos to the coach to get the feedback to be able to share it. So I think it's just, even structurally, it can just remove some barriers that we previously had.
Yeah, fantastic. And I think you're right. That practical side of things is really important to highlight that, because the first thing, you walk into any school right now, anywhere in the world, what's your biggest challenge? Time. You know, time is an issue, and nobody's going to fix that. So, and I loved your phrase, Dan, when it comes to video, it's in the hands of the teacher. So I can record now or later or tomorrow afternoon. It's not dependent on somebody else coming in or, you know, organizing cover. So, you know, I just love that phrase. It's in the hands of the teacher. And if one goes completely pear-shaped, scrub that one and record something tomorrow afternoon. You know, I think people are going to really appreciate the fact that, yes, there's huge potential here and it's in my hands.
Absolutely. Super. And I think too, the other thing is, if it's all right for me to share one more, which is...
Go for it, please do.
I've been thinking of the professional learning that's happening in schools as layers. So I've been talking about almost like, it's like a Shrek approach to coaching and professional learning, right? Shrek describes himself as an ogre who's made up of lots of layers, right? So that's what it's sort of like. The video that they're doing is just one layer. So it's not that's the only professional learning, but how amazing. So for that layer, it's literally in their hands. They record it. They choose. They're reflecting. They're practicing and applying it in their classroom, seeing the changes. At the same time, they might be working as a faculty domain team focused on certain things for their learning. And then you've got your school-wide plans where you're engaging in certain workshops or readings or whole school focus areas that are driven by the school. But either way, they're all sort of working together on practice. But this layer is really driven by the teacher that's directly impacting their kids. And I think there's a really motivating aspect to that where a lot of the time things can be done to teachers, whereas this layer, it really puts it in literally their hands.
I love that. And that's very much, that's a perfect segue into, you know, what's become clear because... And I love it. It's mirroring what you've said, Dan, which gives me a lot of encouragement, I think, in many ways. You know, video, it's not about catching mistakes. It's about increasing awareness. And that awareness is going to come before improvement. And we go back to that phrase, it's in the hands of the teacher. So we're empowering teachers, you know, to help themselves improve their own game. You know, they're trying to improve their craft, and if they see that it's in their hands and they've got control over it, and it's not something's going to be coming in, you know, to use as a tool in many ways to monitor or work against them, then they're going to think this is going to be worthwhile. So the camera isn't the issue; trust is the issue, and teachers need to know that this really it's a tool for learning, not for judgment. And I mean, there's other bits and pieces in there as well. You know, coaching conversations become richer because we're not, as you've said already, we're not relying on memory. Goodness me, if anybody was relying on my memory as a coach, Dan, they're sunk. It's just not going to happen. So we're working with something that's actually tangible, something that's real. So I think then, you know, the conversations become more specific, you know, and you've an opportunity to develop just an even better partnership, become more curious. And that idea of just the one video creating multiple conversations, I think, is a really good thing as well. You know, so you have lots of different things you can look at, and one video could be used, you know, over a series of conversations. And I just love the idea that, you know, there's potential there for teachers to get to the stage where they're saying at the start of the conversation, so here's a video clip and here's what I've noticed. So they're actually initiating those conversations. So reflection becomes in many ways self-sustaining, which I think is superb. So, I mean, ultimately, the camera doesn't improve the teaching. It's a reflection that improves the teaching. The camera simply gives us, I suppose, as you use the phrase, you know, a cleaner mirror. And there's a lovely way of, I suppose, of thinking about this, because I'm interested in photography and videography just as a hobby. And you hear that phrase, you know, it's known worldwide, you know, the camera never lies, but it never tells the whole story either. So video captures behavior, but coaching, this is where you and I come in as a coaches or the folks who are listening, we then help explore the thinking, the intentions and the context behind what we're seeing. And that's where you and I as coaches and folks who are listening, that's where we, I suppose, add value. So the video provides the evidence. We come in with a coaching conversation. We very much, you know, unlock the learning.
I love listening to you explain and just highlight these different points. I think that's so helpful when you think about that it's a great reflection tool, helps us think deeply, but then it works alongside that coach. So, and I also think too, Richard Reed, for all our wonderful listeners out there, you buried the lead. Everyone, he admitted he's not perfect. He is human. His memory is not perfect. We did hear that too. No, I think that's a really brilliant point that you've just made. That I would invite people to rewind by 1 minute and listen to what you just said again. That was a really, really powerful piece of advice and three brilliant insights within that.
Fantastic. Dan, once again, thank you so much, well, for sharing your thoughts on this topic. And it's lovely to see somehow some of those things have mirrored with my thoughts. I've noted a number of things down, as I always do, and I always appreciate that. That always helps my coaching beyond our conversations. For folks who are listening, I'm sure there's been plenty of food for thought for you folks as well. Now, as always, and we mention this each month, if there are topics that maybe we haven't covered so far, we're maybe, what, 5 or 6 episodes in now, and you'd like us to consider them, please do get in touch. We would love to hear from you. And I would encourage you to check out both growthcoaching.com.au and instructionalcoaching.com for a host of fantastic resources specifically on the use of video in coaching. But for now, keep hitting that record button and we will see you on the next episode of Coach Ed Conversations.
Thank you all.